Okay, welcome back to the second half of the Mean Gene Show here on KDWN 720 AM 101.5 FM Las Vegas. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at Sports Kings. You can also follow me on Instagram, Sports Kings Podcast, all one word, and our website, themeangeneshow.com. Once again, the show is brought to you by Presidential Limousine by Captain. The only way to truly experience Las Vegas is by riding in a limousine, a presidential limousine by Captain. Imagine riding up and down the Las Vegas Strip in style. If you're visiting Las Vegas anytime soon, call them at 702-438-5466, or you can text them, 702-410-6057. We're also brought to you by the Westgate Las Vegas Resort Casino. If you haven't been to the sportsbook, fellas and ladies, you're missing out on the biggest man cave in America. They have huge screen TVs with all your favorite sports. And while you're watching the game, be sure to grab a bite at the Draft Sports Bar and Grill. Las Vegas Raiders fans, mark this date on your calendar. Sunday, September 19, 2021. That's when the Raiders will take on the Pittsburgh Steelers at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh. It's one of the NFL's oldest rivalries. Let's see what's happening in the Steel City with the Pittsburgh Steelers. My next guest is an NFL writer for CBS Sports. He also covers the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he's joining me here today on the Mean Gene Show. Please welcome Brian DiArdo to the show. Brian, how are you?
Man, I'm doing great. Always good to talk football. Thanks for having me. How are you guys doing out there today?
Hey, we are doing great here in Las Vegas, man. And I tell you what, I was just reading a story about the Pittsburgh Steelers and the NFL, and it appears the Steelers can't get approval to return to Latrobe for their training camp. So can you tell us more about this?
Yeah, it didn't fit COVID protocol. And Art Rooney, the team's president, kind of alluded to that earlier this offseason when asked if they would be going back to Latrobe. Obviously, they weren't able to go last year due to COVID protocols. No teams last year could hold training camp outside of their facilities. And he said that we're hopeful. So he left the door open to possibly not being able to go earlier in the offseason, and this reached fruition today. I think the Steelers are upset because they didn't get much transparency from the league. I think the feeling there is this is coming way too late in the process. I think the Steelers had already begun preparations, and honestly, I think they had assumed they were going to go. And I think throwing more salt on the wounds, the Chiefs just received an okay to have training camp in Missouri Western State University, and the Cowboys just got an okay to hold camp in Oxnard, California. So I think that's probably, you know, more of the discrepancy for the Steelers is not they're not only allowed to go, 30 miles down the road from Pittsburgh? Mm-hmm. These other franchises are able to do it, and they're not. So I think there's obviously some frustration there because, as you know, the Steelers really, really value and cherish having a chance to have camp in Latrobe. And I've only been once. I covered it a couple of years ago. It really is a really awesome environment. If you're a Steeler fan, that definitely has to be something on your bucket list whenever they plan to go back. And already did say they are planning to go back in 22.
Absolutely. And then again, I guess if you're looking at it from the NFL's point of view, they want to make sure that it's safe for fans. Am I correct?
No question about it. And I know that we are, thank goodness, getting back to some normalcy. The league is making sure that they are doing everything in their diligence to make sure that fans are safe. And you're even seeing it now with a lot of these protocols for unvaccinated players. And I know a lot of people saw Cole Beasley recently spoke out against it. And so, yeah, the NFL is still taking COVID pretty seriously, even though they are hoping to get back to more normalcy with everything this season.
So I know you mentioned the Dallas Cowboys, and I know the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Dallas Cowboys are the two teams that will be allowed to start their training camps sooner than the other NFL teams, right?
That's correct. Yep. Since they're both in the Hall of Fame game, both teams have to play 4 preseason games. I know neither team is happy about that, but yeah, they'll be having 4 preseason games when everybody else has 3.
Let's talk about the team. Let's talk about the OTAs and what are you hearing from OTAs? I read an article that Ben Roethlisberger had some interesting comments about Dwayne Haskins. What are you hearing about that?
I don't know if Atkins is still a thing, the Atkins diet, but whatever he's doing, Dwayne Haskins looks fantastic.
Wow.
He looks And full transparency, I live in Columbus. I saw several games that Dwayne played at Ohio State. He looks in better shape than he did at Ohio State. And he wasn't in bad shape at Ohio State, but he was a pocket passer. And obviously, in college, if you're at a school like Ohio State, you're playing with great athletes against teams that don't really stack up talent-wise. And I remember having a end zone view of Dwayne Haskins against Michigan in 18. And I'll tell you what, I'm not a good athlete in terms of football or many other things, but I could have completed some of those passes Dwayne Haskins was completing. So I think going from that to Washington was probably a baptism by fire. Now he goes to Pittsburgh. He doesn't have to be the savior. He's going to play behind Ben Roethlisberger. His competition is going to be Joshua Dobbs, who 3 years ago beat out Landry Jones in a very competitive battle to be the number three. So Dwayne has to beat out Dobbs before he will get a chance to make the roster. But he does look really good. As Ben has talked about, his release is fantastic. He can get the ball in really tight spots. And he, I think, is really matured. I think turmoil that he went through in Washington, I think, and everybody knows this in your life, when you're faced with that kind of adversity, you can wallow in self-pity, or you can learn from it and bounce back. And it looks like Dwayne Haskins is doing just that.
And let's talk about, you know, what he is going to have to go through to beat out Dobbs and let's talk about Mason Rudolph. I remember when the Steelers drafted Mason Rudolph, and I remember I actually was up there for the it wasn't the OTAs, it was the not the mandatory ones, the ones that they do like early in June, and the rookies mandatory
rookie minicamp.
The rookies minicamp. And I spoke with Mason Rudolph, and I saw, you know, what I saw out on the practice field, and I really, and here I was just really advocating for this guy. I thought he was going to be great, and then we saw what we saw with Mason Rudolph. Big Ben unfortunately went down, and we saw, and Mason Rudolph was a major letdown. But yet, Mason Rudolph is still the number two quarterback. But looking at Haskins and looking at Dobbs, how safe is that number two position for Mason Rudolph?
It's pretty safe. I'd be surprised if, unless Haskins really wows us, I think Mason's going to be your number two. And as much as I like Joshua Dobbs, he really hasn't evolved as a passer as much as I think some people have hoped. But he's still obviously a quality NFL quarterback to belong on a depth chart, right? He's still in the league, which is saying something. This is going to be his fifth season. Mm-hmm. But I think it's Mason is a heavy, heavy favorite. I give Mason the 90% to be the number two. And then I would give Haskins a slight nod, because here's the thing. Yes, Dobbs knows some of Pittsburgh's teammates, but he did spend that 1 year in Jacksonville. And a lot of the guys that Dobbs broke in with the Steelers in terms of their skill position guys aren't there anymore. You know, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, several other guys aren't there anymore. And there's a new offensive coordinator. So both guys are somewhat on playing field in terms of Dobbs and obviously Dwayne Haskins. I just think it's going to be the mastery of the offense. And I think Haskins slimming down is really going to help him, because as you know, the NFL is constantly changing, and you obviously don't have to be a Randall Cunningham or a Michael Vick, but you have to be somewhat mobile in today's NFL. Even Tom Brady has some mobility, not a lot, but he's got some. And I think that Haskins is now going to be able to move around a little bit better, and I think that's going to help him. And I agree with you what you said about Mason. You know, 2019 was rocky for him, but I think some of that too was just trying to give what the defense was giving, or take what the defense was giving him. And I don't think he wanted to make a lot of mistakes. He didn't want to be the reason why the Steelers lost the game. And then you saw against the Browns in Week 17 last year, he did take more shots down the field. Yeah. Mason does get along with his teammates, which, as you know, is important for a quarterback.
Absolutely.
So I think it's going to be really interesting, the quarterback battles there, but I do think Mason for sure will be the number two.
Folks, once again, we are talking with Brian DiArdo. He works for CBS Sports, covers the NFL, and including the Pittsburgh Steelers, here on the Mean Gene Show. Well, let's get into a little bit of last year. We're just going to go back a little bit. You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers off to one of the best seasons ever, and then the wheels came off in the late part of the season. And the wheels continued to come off when a couple of Pittsburgh Steelers greats decided to call it quits. So How difficult will it be for the Pittsburgh Steelers to come back and to come even somewhat close to what they did last year to get off to that same start?
Well, you made a lot of good points there. Pretty much summing up, you just summed up the Steelers' season 2020 about, you know, a minute, which was great. You know, they came out strong, and I think a lot of that was no one really knew what to expect from Ben in the offense. And the Steelers' talent at receiver, yes, Antonio Brown now, you know, they don't have him anymore, but Deontay Johnson really came on strong. Juju evolved into what they needed him to be, a possession receiver. Kind of a mix between Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool, who also came on really strong. Ray McLeod is a good number four, number five. And James Washington, you know, nice big play threat, speaking of a guy going into his contract year. So, and the defense was really good, just like they were in 19. But as the season progressed, the drop passes became an issue. The predictability of the offense became an issue, which is why they got rid of Randy Fignor, one of the reasons. And the running game was atrocious. And then when you lose Devin Bush and you don't have – I mean, Robert Spillane was okay, but not Devin Bush, and not really great in pass coverage. And then you lose Bud Dupree. I mean, those were a lot of losses that the Steelers weren't able to overcome, along with the fact that their offensive line wasn't quite as good as it once was. Alejandro Villanueva, you know, best of luck with the Ravens, a better run blocker than a pass blocker. But when you're throwing 70% of the time, you need a pretty good left tackle that can pass protect, which wasn't his forte. So those all kind of added up. And I really do think that the Steelers, I have them at 10-7. So, 17-game season, I have them winning one less game this year than they did in the 16-game season last year, largely because of the talent they lost on defense. Cornerback is still a huge concern for me, and I don't know why Steven Nelson is still available. It has to be a money thing.
Yeah.
But I'm concerned about who's going to play cornerback outside of Joe Hayden. Alex Highsmith is a good outside linebacker, but he's not Bud Dupree. You know, so, defense will still be good, but not quite as good. And offensively, you know, I literally do like the fact that they are really doubling down on the running game. I think Najee Harris, and I spoke to Charles Davis last week, and he said he thinks Najee is going to be a 1,000-yard back. I agree with him. That offensive line, I think, is better than what people are giving him credit for, but they're still untested. So until we really know what that offensive line is going to give us, you know, they should be doubted at least a little bit. And I think Ben is going to be good. They are past the time now where Ben is the focal point of the offense. He can't do what he did in 15 and 14 where
right.
The passing game is the focal point. So if that running game is good and that defense can win them some games, and they get off to a strong start. They have to get off to a strong start because weeks 13 to 18 for the Steelers are absolutely dreadful. So they have to get out to a strong start. And if they make the playoffs, all bets are off. Teams have won the Super Bowl as a wild card team. So I'm not really concerned about the playoffs for the Steelers. Just get 10 wins, make the playoffs, and then take your chances.
You know, it's funny. You mentioned 10-7. That's something that we're going to have to get used to hearing, you know, because it used to be 10-6, right? So now 10-7. So before I get into the division, I do want to talk about the schedule and one game in particular, because as you know, we're on here in Las Vegas and the Las Vegas Raiders. This is going to be a dynamic year for Raiders fans because they will get a chance to go to Allegiant Stadium, which is a magnificent stadium, by the way. But the game that we're talking about is the Pittsburgh Steelers season opener, which I'm looking forward to because I will be there. And that's the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Las Vegas Raiders. As we call it, Brian, it is the Immaculate Reception Bowl again, right?
Yes. Absolutely.
What are your thoughts on that big game?
Well, first of all, that was an amazing rivalry. You know, that was an amazing rivalry in the 70s. And I know that, you know, if you're not a fan of that era, or you don't really know that era well, you should look it up. Because that was maybe the greatest rivalry in NFL history, what they had in the 70s. And even me, who wasn't around back then, just after that. But when you see those jerseys on the field, it just... It's football, right? That's football. The Raiders and Steelers on the gridiron. The Steelers going to the Death Star, which is what I'm calling the Raiders' new stadium. Respectfully, like you said, it's a magnificent stadium. And I think it's going to be a good game. As you know, the Steelers struggle with the Raiders. They lost to them with Terrell Pryor in 13. They lost to them in 18 in that crazy game, when the Steelers still had Antonio Brown, all those guys, when the season kind of fell apart on them. Actually, we have breaking news. The Steelers just released David DeCastro. So
wow.
just received that news. So I think they were working out Trey Turner, recently. So they're probably going to sign him now. So big news there. David DeCastro is gone. But you look at the Raiders-Steelers game, and we just talked about the Steelers' question marks at cornerback. The Raiders are a team that they're going to give the Steelers everything they want in terms of testing. The Steelers, possibly their biggest weakness, is the cornerbacks with Henry Ruggs, with Brian Edwards, Hunter Renfrow, Zay Jones, Willie Snead, John Brown. I mean, that's a good receiving core. And I'd be remiss not to mention Daylon Waller, arguably the best tight end in the league,
right?
Foster Moreau. I mean, that's about as deep as a receiving core that you can get in the NFL. And I think that they're going to give the Steelers a lot of fits. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, an exciting game. I'm going to give the Raiders potentially the nod in that game, if I'm being honest with you, just because the Steelers have issues against them. Mm-hmm. John Gruden and Mike Tomlin know each other really well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and give the Raiders a slight edge in that one.
Yeah, and yep. I know we're going to have to hook up again before that game takes place.
Because no doubt.
It is. And unfortunately, I am old enough to remember, those rivalries. And it's just, a lot of respect for those teams, even though, Raiders fans, for those who will make that trip, they will get a painful reminder at the Pittsburgh International Airport of whether or not it was a catch. So I don't want to spoil it for anybody. But anyway, lastly, just looking at the division, and we talked about, what's his name? Villanueva going to the Ravens, right? Mm-hmm. And we also talked about Dupree going to Tennessee. Now, Tennessee is not in the division, but the Cleveland Browns, it seems like every year the Pittsburgh Steelers have some, if it's not the Ravens to deal with, it's Cincinnati. But now, after seeing what the Cleveland Browns did to the Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoffs, how difficult will it be to beat the Cleveland Browns twice this upcoming season?
Oh, it's going to be real difficult. It's going to be really difficult because the Browns have, I think, the best roster AFC North. I do. And I know a lot of people think that the Ravens do, but I just think the Ravens have too many question marks. The offensive line, I mean, they lost Orlando Brown, which to me, I don't know how you lose a guy like that. You've got to find a way to keep Orlando Brown. I know that he wanted to switch tackle positions, and the Ravens didn't want him to, but to me, you got to be able to figure that out. So I don't know what happened. Oh, and I was wrong. The Raiders are coming to Pittsburgh, so I'm going to have to wait a little bit to see my Steelers in the Death Star, but that's okay. As you said, the Raiders are coming to Pittsburgh, not the other way around.
Right.
But I think the Browns, they play the way that the Steelers desire to play, which is you have the ability to run and pass, but you want to lean on that running game to set up the pass. And that's what the Browns do. The Browns can beat you both ways, but they prefer to start with the run and then work in the pass. And when you've got Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, that's about as good as a running back combo in the league that you're going to get. Mm-hmm. And with Odell Beckham coming back, with Rashard Higgins, which was an under-the-radar re-signing from Cleveland, they really wanted to keep their receiving core intact, similar to the Steelers when Ben came back re-signing Juju. Their offensive line, which was an issue in Cleveland for years, is among the best in the league. With Jack Conklin and Wyatt Teller and Joel Bitonio and Jedrick Wills, which was a really, really good draft pick from Cleveland last year. And then that defense. Now, that defense, not as good as Baltimore's, not as good as Pittsburgh's. Mm-hmm. It's the third best defense in that division. So that's going to be the question mark,
right?
Especially the middle of that defense. Andrew Billings is an okay, a solid pro, Jordan Elliott, but those guys aren't studs. So the Steelers should be able to run on them. And that's going to be the key to them getting victories against the Browns. It's going to be Najee Harris, that new running game, and then defensively, you're going to have to pick your poison with Cleveland. You're going to have to take away the run, and you're going to have to force Baker Mayfield to beat you. And that's how I would beat them. I think they will split with Cleveland. I don't see Cleveland sweeping them. I think the Steelers are able to split with them. And Cleveland, though, and this is the other issue, I don't think the Steelers will win the division. I think they'll finish third because they have a really – tough schedule after winning the North. They have to play that first place schedule. The Browns have a third place schedule. Now, Cleveland has a late bye, week 13. They go Baltimore, bye Baltimore. So that late bye is going to hurt them, but I still think that Cleveland's a team to beat in the AFC North for sure.
Okay, Brian. Hey, man, it was a pleasure having you on. You have to come back on during the season, man.
Oh, anytime, anytime. It was awesome talking to you guys, and anytime you want to talk NFL, I'm here. So, yeah, looking forward to doing it again.
All right, folks. Brian DiArdo, NFL sports writer, CBS Sports, here on the Mean Gene Show, KDWN 720 AM, 101.5 FM, Las Vegas. Well, there you have it from Brian DiArdo, CBSSports.com here on the Mean Gene Show. All I can say, folks, is that this upcoming NFL season is going to be a good one. I mean, you have two tough divisions for the Raiders, the NFC East and the AFC North. And you just heard Brian DiArdo predict a Raiders win over the Pittsburgh Steelers in week two of the NFL season. That is very interesting. Now, I am not going to go that far and make that prediction because there's just too much yet to be determined. There's training camps and, you know, there's injuries. There's things that could potentially happen. There's just a whole lot. But the storylines for the upcoming season for the Raiders is going to be interesting. The Baltimore Ravens game will be at Allegiant Stadium, which is going to be interesting. Some of the more tougher games will be played here. Now, and where there's some tough games on the road, too, Thanksgiving Day matchup with the Dallas Cowboys is going to be huge. Now, I am still trying to decide if I want to spend Thanksgiving in Dallas. I just don't know. I did that a few years back. I actually saw the Dallas Cowboys play the Philadelphia Eagles. The Cowboys lost. I was so happy to see them lose. There's nothing like watching the Cowboys lose on Thanksgiving Day because that's not supposed to happen. But there's a rematch with the Washington football team and Ryan Fitzpatrick, which I know Raiders fans want that rematch. Ryan Fitzpatrick is not with Miami, so you don't have to worry about him suiting up with the Dolphins. But the fact that the Raiders have to face him again is like, really? Do you have to see him again? And that answer is yes. But you know, eight games. Right now, if I had to predict, I would say 4-4 would be a success, knowing that, you know, this division, the NFC East, you just don't know what you're going to get. You know, Dak Prescott comes back for the Cowboys, as we mentioned earlier, and the Washington football team, you don't know. I mean, even though they won that division, now the quarterback situation there is completely different. Over in the AFC North, Big Ben will be the quarterback. You have over in, with the Cincinnati Bengals, you have that quarterback is coming back. Oh, Lord, I can't believe I have a blank for the quarterback because he got hurt. And Jesus Christ, what's this guy's name? But anyway, he comes back. And then you have Lamar Jackson and you have Baker Mayfield. So it's going to be interesting to see either way it goes for the Las Vegas Raiders and what's going to happen. So that's going to wrap up things for this week's show. Hope you enjoyed it. Love to get your feedback on the show. Shoot me an email at sportskingslive.com. Okay, I want to thank my guest, Andrew DiCecco from ESPN 97.3 in South Jersey for talking about the Philadelphia Eagles and what to expect for their upcoming season. And the guy you just heard, Brian DiArdo from CBSSports.com. As always, a big thanks to Ray Lee Cadenhead for arranging all of our guests here on the Mean Gene Show. I will leave you the rest of your weekend. There's more exciting NBA playoffs to watch as well as PGA golf. And, oh, yeah, sorry, Las Vegas, no more Golden Knights hockey. But we still have plenty of WNBA and the Las Vegas Aces to watch. And I will be right back here next Saturday with more NFL, NBA playoffs, and much more here on the Mean Gene Show, KDWN 720 AM, 101.5 FM, Las Vegas.